Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of Can I Kick It FC. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and joining me is a man that was inspired by this player that we're about to talk about because he was the Minister of Defense. He saved U.S. asses in the 2014 World Cup because he didn't make it in 2018. Mr. Tim Howard, also known as the greatest goalkeeper the USL has ever seen. That literally, please don't look up his highlights. Just take me as a fact there.
Yeah, so Tim Howard, Secretary of Defense, just to be honest with you, in my opinion, one of the greatest goalkeepers that the U.S. has had.
Yeah.
One of the greatest goalkeepers that has been in the Premier League, and one of the greatest goalkeepers that has goalkeeper performances in a World Cup.
I feel like so when we talk about U.S. goalkeepers,
that's a lot of superlatives, but I mean,
yeah, he deserves it. He deserves it. When we talk about American goalkeepers, I feel like he is the standard bearer. He is the guy, the total prototypical goalkeeper that you look at and be like, all right, if I want a goalkeeper, I want him. I want him to be the goalkeeper. So Tim Howard started playing at New Jersey Imperials and Metro Stars. Of course, Metro Stars is the old Red Bull. But the way how he got scouted is kind of very American, where he kind of like, I don't even think he got started in soccer. Like, I think he started playing basketball, and there's a parallel universe where Tim Howard is like putting up double doubles for the New York Knicks instead of having double digit saves for the Metro Stars. But yeah, so like, he started playing for the Metro Stars, and I wonder how press coverage would have been like if social media was a big thing back in 2003 when he made his move to Manchester United to replace Fabian Barthez. Like, how big that move would have been. Like, I think it would have been like how when Zach Steffen moved to Man City. You know,
It would have been on that level in terms of notoriety. I think at that time there wasn't too much noise being made about Americans going abroad. And you're looking at a situation where things could have been so different for him. Mm-hmm. And he could have entered into the social media era at one of the most recognized soccer clubs in the world.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, when you look at that timeline with when he goes to Manchester United, this is a time where he's coming, where Edwin van der Sar is coming from Fulham.
Mm-hmm.
So Fulham, if Sir Alex Ferguson is content with signing Tim Howard and maybe pulling an academy kid up to be the second goalkeeper, what does that look like for Tim Howard? Because I honestly feel that in the environment with Sir Alex Ferguson, with that Manchester United team, I think that Tim Howard could have performed just as well as Edwin van der Sar for that Manchester United team. So what would we be looking at right now if in the greatest years of Manchester United, they had a goalkeeper, they had an American goalkeeper? How does that change US soccer? How does that change Tim Howard's career? It's really, really interesting to see how things would have gone for him.
I'm going to back up a little bit, talk about Tim Howard's time in America and whatnot, and like being a black goalkeeper, like that. I kind of feel like that's a position like in the early 90s and whatnot, like black people just got thrown into. It's like, oh, you're athletic. Go out here and play goalkeeper. You know, like football, son. Like, and the only reason why I say that is because that's what happened to me on my high school soccer team. Like, the coach was like, hey, you're too big to play in the midfield. You're too slow to play an attack. You're too short to play defense. Go play goalkeeper. Like, okay. And I was really good at it, but to my horn there. But yeah, I feel like being a black goalkeeper at that time is something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but is also a position of which, you know, the abundance of black talent has kind of shown through. Like we said before, Zach Steffen, Tim Howard. If you look at international, yeah, like it's been something to where. Even the young kid at NCFC, I always joke with Eb all the time about him, but Nicholas Jackson. Don't call him. I should know this. He's being a US Elite One commentator. But it's one of those things of which it doesn't get talked about, especially being like he was the face of the USMNT for the longest. Like, I remember, like, 2006 World Cup, I don't remember that too fondly because I wasn't a soccer fan then. But 2010 World Cup, like, I remember when I first turned on the TV and saw Tim Howard in the goalpost. And I was like, hold on, wait, that's a black person? He got us playing goalkeeper? Like, because in my head, like, I just always assumed soccer would be white. They ain't gonna let us play like that. Like, no. Like,
yeah, when you look at the leading goalkeepers before, the number one goalkeepers before Tim Howard, you're looking at Brad Friedel, Casey Keller, Tony Meola, and even his second, Brad Guzan. These are all formidable goalkeepers and have been, you know, lauded as great goalkeepers all around the world.
Yeah.
But I think something that Tim Howard brought was it was something kind of intangible. Mm-hmm. when you looked at Tim Howard taking on the USMNT first goalkeeper role, I remember thinking to myself the same thing as you, like, oh goodness, a black guy. Because the last time I had seen a black guy play goalkeeper was Brad Friedel's second, Zach Thornton. And the only time I could remember seeing him play was, I think, the 1998 MLS All-Star game, where he came in the second half. And that was it. And I mean, that wasn't really a game that the U.S. men's national team really tried hard at. They beat the MLS All-Stars 6-1. So it was not like he did anything. It was just a big deal. So I was looking at myself like, oh, okay, here we go again. Let's try it with this guy. Is he going to take that spot? And my goodness, he took that spot. And I remember seeing him briefly at Manchester United before Edwin van der Sar took the helm as the leading goalkeeper, and thinking to myself, that could have been something different. But to go to Everton and to put up the numbers he did at a much smaller club, it was a no-brainer. It's just a no-brainer. Like, this is, he's earned the spot. He's earned the job. There's no one else that is going to. And we're looking at his second, Brad Guzan, who was a formidable, who was at the time a formidable goalkeeper, and who still does, has done fairly well at Atlanta United. But there's a big drop off between Tim Howard and Brad Guzan. Yeah. And that was saying something.
So Tim Howard, like you said, he played at Manchester United, found his cool stat out. At the time, it was Manchester United. So he was playing, he was right before the 2008 Champions League final. But he was part of that team that won the FA Cup, I think, in 2006. So he's playing up that point in time, right? Playing for Manchester United. They had a bad game against Porto. Tim Howard, I think he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was in the game in which Mourinho did like that famous knee slide.
Yes, I believe so.
If memory serves me, I think that's him. I think he's the goal. But whatever the case is, his confidence goes off a cliff, right? So Sir Alex pulls him out, replaces him with Roy Carroll. Right before the FA Cup final, Tim Howard gets his starting spot back. This interesting stat is this. Did you know that Tim Howard became the first American since Julian Sturgis to win the FA Cup? Now, can you guess what year Julian Sturgis won the FA Cup?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm drawing a blank. That was a long time. Julian Sturgis. Oh.
You want a hint?
Probably like the 70s, wasn't that?
1873.
Julian Sturgis was back then?
Yeah. 1873. That was the last time an American.
Okay. I'm mixing him up with someone else. All right.
Yeah, he became the first American to win the FA Cup since 1873. That's how long it was. So it was a long time. He started in the final, like I said. So his time at Everton, I think, is what he's most remembered from. And honestly, like, he will probably tell you himself, he is an Evertonian. Like, he is Everton blue through and through. He moved on loan to Everton in 2005. After the club signed, like you said, Evan van der Sar, Manchester United. He became the most capped. My fault. He won the FA Cup in 2004. So, yeah, that would be Mourinho year because 2005 went on loan. Yeah, my fault. Had that mixed up. You know, played for Everton. In his whole Premier League career, and probably a big reason of why he became who he was, is because he was a stable force at Everton. Like, he was, once again, much like the USMT, he was the face of Everton. Like, I remember watching Everton when I first started watching Premier League soccer. And went, oh, that's Tim Howard. He plays in every game. He's really good. He saves everything. I see why American and your English people like Americans as goalkeeper, because Tim Howard's really good.
No, I mean, I think the only other American to be viewed as in on that, on the level of heroicism that Tim Howard is viewed at, the one who's beloved by Premier League fans and English fans, the only close thing to me is Brian McBride.
Yeah.
Yes, you have, you know, Clint Dempsey, who has definitely did
Brad a thing. Friedel. Yeah.
Brad Friedel, definitely. Stu Holden, unfortunately, not a long enough career due to injuries. But Tim Howard, I think, is paramount among all of them. Like I said, with Brian McBride as a close second, in terms of notoriety. Like, if you tell any English person who even remotely knows about the Premier League, about Tim Howard, they can go on about him, because he was consistently ranked as one of the top goalkeepers in the Premier League for almost his entire time at Everton. And that's saying something. This is the era of Edwin van der Sar. This is the era of David De Gea. This is the era of Courtois. This is the era of what's the French goalkeeper's name? Jeez, I'm drawing a blank.
Hugo Lloris.
The likes of the Brazilian goalkeeper for Watford, who, I mean, I think Watford fans like worship him.
You got me on that one.
but just names that you can just throw out there, that he was there during the time that these guys were at their best, and he was always among them.
Yeah.
As, you know, in terms of a goalkeeper.
So much so that
I personally think that it took a long time for Jordan Pickford to gain the hearts of Everton fans because of how well Tim Howard did before he was there. So now Jordan Pickford had to work. I'm saying Jordan Pickford had to work really hard for people to be like, all right, you're no Tim Howard, but you're good enough for us.
Yeah, for real. So for Tim Howard, if you look at it, like, his Everton career from 2005 to really 2016, right before he leaves to come to MLS, you know, he has 210 consecutive starts, right? Two games short of the all-time record. And the only reason why that he didn't get the all-time record is because of he missed one game with a finger injury. So you look at it, like, he was the model of consistency, played in the big games, kept that club Everton, like, relevant. Like, I remember when I first started watching in 2014, which is now 10 years ago, Everton was talked about in the Big Six. Like, it wasn't Tottenham. It was Everton, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal. Like, that was the Big Six. And then it became Tottenham and whatnot. I mean, Shanair, let's take a little bit. Let's talk about his legacy. Like, we already stated it. Like, he's a black goalkeeper. He was the face of, kind of like with DeMarcus Howard, Jermaine Jones, like, kind of like the face of black people latching on to the team and being like, yo, they represent me. Like, I feel proud to have them, you know, represent us. But also, like, for him being a black goalkeeper, playing this game with a disability, he goes on limp to speak about that. Like, there's a good Guardian article back in 2015, which he talks about how he dealt with it and some of the struggles that he had to go through with it. But I think, for me personally, I think the thing that, if you want to sum up Tim Howard's legacy, is, I mean, honestly, he was the model of consistency for the USMNT, for Everton. Yeah, like, he was, it was never a question of, from 2010 to really maybe 2016, like, who was going to be the starter of the USMNT and that. It was going to be Tim Howard. Really, 2008. So 2008 to 2016, 8 years. Who's going to be the starter? You and Tim Howard. Like, automatic. Like, we ain't arguing about this. We ain't trying. No one else. It's Tim Howard. It's Tim. So 2016, he makes his return back to. What you about to say? My fault.
No, I was going to say that I was going to completely agree with you. Like, consistency is the name of his game. And going back to what you're talking about with regards to him struggling with Tourette syndrome.
Yeah.
One thing a lot of people who don't follow the game closely enough do not realize is that there's a difference between a shot stopper and a goalkeeper. A shot stopper is someone, if you take a shot, they're very good at saving it and putting their body behind the ball when a shot is taken. A goalkeeper is so much more than that. I always, whenever I'm coaching kids and whenever I select my goalkeeper based off of who actually wants to be brave enough to take on that role, I always tell them, I want you to watch as many games as you can, professional soccer games as you can, and watch the post-match interviews. How many times do you see a goalkeeper doing a post-match interview? Barely ever, because they spend the entire game yelling, talking, communicating with their entire team. So with a disability like this, for Tim Howard to still be at the top of his game, communicating with his defense, directing traffic in his back line, owning his goalie box, that is the feat definitely that needs to be talked about, because Tourette syndrome is a vocal disability. It's something that obstructs your ability to communicate fluidly and clearly. He's still able to do that with this disability on a grand scale in stadiums where there are thousands of people screaming. So just to put things into perspective for people.
Yeah. Like, this is also the other thing too, like with Tim Howard. Man, like, I can't say no. He was the man of the season. But my fault. This is the thing about Tim Howard that I think doesn't go stated enough is the way in which he views the game is very much of how like a free safety or a quarterback views the game in football, or how a point guard views it. Like, he's looking at it from a standpoint of, I control these other 10 players on a screen, right? And I think at one time, oh God, if I can remember the podcast he did, and he talks about it, it's pretty much like every action that he does, he knows that he has the related information, so it builds on top of each other. So if he tells the center back to do one thing, the next part of information, he has to relate it to the CDM so he can do his part. Like, it's all information that builds on top of each other, right? And just hearing him speak about the game was just amazing. So he transitioned back to MLS back in 2016. I remember he signed for the Colorado Rapids. And, I mean, it went all right. I think the big thing now is for Tim is he's a voice now for the Premier League. Somewhere, so I mean, he's in the Premier League Hall of Fame. But I think now, like, who is it? Robbie Musto and the other Robbie? I remember, like, for a while, they were, like, the two voices of the Premier League. I think Tim Howard is now kind of becoming the voice of the Premier League a little bit.
Yeah, for NBC, he's definitely... Yeah.
I think he's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, Robbie Earl and Robbie Musto, Tim Howard and Rebecca Lowe. Like, it's those four.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely Tim. Like, I definitely feel like he's definitely now becoming a strong voice. Yeah. But yeah, man, like, I mean, this man owns stake in, what is it, Dargonish Red in England. Memphis 901. He's spreading his wealth out a little bit. I want to ask you this question about his legacy. Well, not his legacy, but, like, do you think America will ever get another goalkeeper like Tim Howard? Like, someone who, obviously right now we got Matt Turner, but I always feel like the conversation around Matt Turner is, all right, he's good, but who else can start? Like, Gaga Selena, like, someone else. Like, with Tim Howard, I remember it's Tim Howard. No one else is taking his spot unless Tim Howard is hurt. Like, will we ever have another goalkeeper like that? Or will we always have constant goalkeeper competition? Which, I'm not saying is a bad thing. But will we ever have a goalkeeper that for 8 years straight, two consecutive World Cups, could have been three if 2018 didn't happen, is the starter?
That's a tough question, because before Tim Howard, it had always been that way. It was, I mean, Brad Friedel had his time. Casey Keller had his time. Tony Meola had his time where it was unquestionable. Like all of those guys had a time where it was unquestionable that they were going to be the goalkeeper for the U.S. And it's after Tim Howard that we started to see more of this. Maybe it could be this guy. Maybe it could be this guy. Maybe it could be this guy. Which I think there are two reasons for it. One is because of how good Tim Howard was. Mm-hmm. So how do you replace that? And is there someone who can replace that? Second is there's a much bigger talent pool of goalkeepers. And it's very difficult to see all of them without breaking the continuity of having one who's holding that spot and actually able to settle in that position. I personally think that Matt Turner has the possibility to do it, but I think there are certain aspects of his game that he's lacking that would prevent him from even reaching anywhere near the level of Tim Howard. He's a great shot stopper. Matt Turner is a fantastic goalkeeper. He'll always hold a place in my heart for two reasons. One, New England Revolution. Two, Richmond Kickers. But I don't see too much with regard in the near future of someone who will hold down that spot the way it used to be in the past. How this guy's a goalkeeper, there's no question about it. Until he runs out of form, he's it. Even before Matt Turner, this was a case of, is it Zach Steffen? Is it, you know, there were a whole bunch of names being thrown out there, and we were sitting here like, I don't know, maybe this guy, Zach Steffen could have been if he had not gone to Manchester City, to be honest with you. He had the ability, he had the potential. But when you're going to Manchester City, everyone's saying, oh my goodness, he's going to Manchester City. Yeah, but he's not playing. Ederson's playing every game. He's not playing. So there is no ability for him to develop his skills, to hone his skills, to actually be a competitive goalkeeper on the international stage.
A big reason why he missed that 2022 World Cup. If Tim Howard's highlight, right, if you want to show the game that eclipses Tim Howard as a goalkeeper, everything that he's about, it's a 2014 game against Belgium. There's no argument. I feel like if you want to show the inevitable downfall that we all saw, if we were all, I think everyone in 2018 had that collective moment, was like, it's time. It's time. I think it's the 2018 World Cup qualifying game against Trinidad and Tobago. And that's saying just because of the loss and what that meant for the U.S. soccer. But you could just watch Tim in that game and just be like, I kind of had the same thing with like Akira at some point in this past season. I think it was like midway through the season where I was just like,
yeah,
he can't make these saves anymore.
Yeah.
He's second guessing himself to get there.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's like you're there's a lot of mileage on the body, and a lot of people don't realize it. And you know, you're looking at a soccer game, you're seeing all these guys running all over the place. It's like, oh my goodness, these guys are running. The actually, in all around, the fittest player on the team is the goalkeeper.
Dude, goalkeeper is tiring, man. I play goalkeeper. It is tiresome
mentally, and you're using a lot more of your body than other players are. And the reflex ability, that which is something that deteriorates with age. Let's take a look at David De Gea, for example. I mean, going through such a long period of time of having to literally save Manchester United behind, he becomes like a punch drunk goalkeeper and he can't make saves anymore. It's like a boxer getting hit in the face too many times.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot of times with some of the world's greatest goalkeepers. You see that with Mignolet. You've seen that with Fabianski, who actually had the potential to reach the levels of Tim Howard, the potential to reach the levels of Courtois and Ederson. But because they went through spells where they literally have to make save after save after save after save for like a long span of time for a whole season, it just, it completely knocks the juice out of you. So you're looking at Tim Howard, who had such longevity with Everton, such longevity with the U.S. men's national team. I don't think I can begrudge him to that situation in 2018. It's like there's mileage on that body.
Yeah, and no, you can just watch it and see like, he's done.
Yeah, you can see
it. It's like you just gotta put your hand over him and just be like, you're done good, champ. You're done good, but it's time.
For me, it's one of those situations where I look at it, it's like, okay, Tim Howard, you no longer have anything to prove to me. I know that you're the GOAT. You know, hang it up. It's time for somebody else to take the reins and actually take the responsibility of carrying this team on. And I look at players like Tim Howard, as well as around that time, Lynn Donovan, Clint Dempsey, all of those guys, it's like, it's time to pass the torch on, and this next generation better pick up that torch and not drop it. And I do feel that with regards to the goalkeeper situation, there has been a lapse, and the lapse was the dependence on Zach Steffen without him getting playing time. And I do think that if we had been able to find another talent like Zach Steffen and not send him to Manchester City, we may have found someone who could really take that role and say, I am in the same class as Tim Howard. Maybe. And that's a big maybe, because Tim Howard, I mean.
Yeah, honestly, like, I think the best way to wrap it up, if we want to put a nice bow on all of this, I think you can look at Tim Howard through pretty much like the four pillars. Like, it's kind of like, you know what? No, let me rephrase that. It's the four eras of Tim Howard. Like, you have era one, which is the model, right? Tim Howard, the model. Like, he is the model U.S. goalkeeper. He is the what every English team is looking for at that point, right? Like, it's kind of stereotypical. Like, the Argentinian number 10, the Nigerian striker, you know, the Spanish midfielder, right? The American goalkeeper is Tim Howard. Then you have the next model of Tim Howard, which is Mr. Consistency. The two other in 10 starts at Everton, the 121 most cap goalkeeper for the USMNT. Then you have the Senator of Defense, right? His World Cup triumphs, 2010 and 2014, Gold Cups. That, and then the last era is the voice of the American Premier League fan, right? The kind of being that bridge to bring American fans into the Premier League. How he views the game, how he sees the game, how he talks about the game, and whatnot. So that's kind of like, if you want to look at Tim Howard, like, as overall, like, I feel like those are the four ways in which you look at Tim Howard and put a nice bow on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any last things from you, my friend, before we wrap up today's show?
For those of you who may not have known Tim Howard receiving the National Soccer Hall of Fame Award. The International Soccer Hall of Fame Award. You are not, if you can watch him receive it on NBC Sports when they surprised him with it, and not have a tear, you know, well up in your eyes, you're not a soccer fan. I mean, seeing what he's accomplished and seeing that look on his face when they surprised him with that induction, was something beautiful to see, because it was deserved, absolutely, absolutely deserved. He was I would say in of all of the U.S. goalkeepers that I have seen play, and I've seen quite a few, he's by far and away the best.
He's the best. It's no argument with that. He's the best. He is the guy. So much so that Shanir, my friend, I think this is a great way to wrap up the episode. I think that's a great way how to do it, man. So, listeners, like we said before, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Tim Howard? How do you rate him as all-time American great, Premier League great, goalkeeper great? You know, does he make the list as the top 10 greatest goalkeepers of all time? Or is he just on the outside of it? Is he on your Mount Rushmore of USMNT greats? Or is he just outside of it? We want to hear from you. Hit us up. Twitter, Can I Kick It FC. Follow the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube page, Can I Kick It FC, where we'll put all the shows out there. So with that being said, for Shanir, for myself, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show. Because without you, we couldn't do this. And you should give a subscribe just for that. So, as always, we will holler at you guys next time where we will be talking about more Black History Soccer. But until then, be easy, be safe. Love you.